I've never told this story before outside of our close friends and family, but in the light of recent events, I've decided to share my story. I feel more than anything that this is a story about how listening to your gut feeling and acting on it fast can change anything. In the early 2010s, I was a young 911 dispatcher with about 1.5 years experience under my belt, and I was working on Christmas Day. Since it was Christmas, all of the offices inside the courthouse were closed, and only essential personnel were working that day. That meant the only ones that were there were myself, 5 other dispatchers, and about 15 sheriff's deputies. To explain a few things and set the scene, us dispatchers were in a secured unlocked room in the basement of the courthouse, and the deputies that were not on any calls were in their squad room 2 floors above us. Normally the public can access their lobby, but with the holiday, the entire building was locked. Due to this, if a citizen needed to make a report or talk to a deputy, they would need to pick up the phone outside the courthouse or call dispatch on their cell phone to speak with one of us first. One more thing, the parking area for employees was around the side of the courthouse and was bordered on one side by a large man-made dike. This was because the courthouse sits right along a very large river, and the dike helps prevent flooding when the river's at high levels. This means that if someone were to stand at the top of the dike, they can look down on the parking lot and everyone unsuspectingly walking to their cars. Okay, now for the events of my story. So, like I said, it was Christmas Day around 2 p.m., and everything was pretty quiet. So much so that we were all watching Home Alone and eating snacks, with barely a call to answer or squeak of radio traffic. Even though I was at work in a dark basement, I was in a happy and jovial mood, and I almost forgot that given where we worked, that could all change in one instant. It was my turn to answer the phone. So when the regular office line, not the 911 line, rang, I answered with a chipper.
Dispatch.
My screen indicated the caller was calling from a cell phone and was pinging in the general area of the downtown riverfront, which is also where the courthouse is located. There was a silence for a moment.
Dispatch, how can I help you?
I said. A gruff and already angry sounding man's voice said,
Yeah, I'm on my way there right now. On your way where?
I asked.
On my way to you.
He said in a creepy tone that made my hair stand. I said,
Sir, I'm sorry, but our offices are closed due to the holiday. Did you want me to make a report and I can have a deputy call you?
You'll find out when I get there.
He said sharply and then hung up. That was super weird, I thought. I turned around to my coworkers and I told them I felt like this caller was being vaguely threatening and that I had a really bad feeling. They had asked me why did I feel like that, since he basically just said he was coming to the courthouse with no direct threats, and what was anyone supposed to do with that little information? I really didn't know, but I then explained the sense of impending doom I felt. And everyone just laughed at the rookie, saying I was looking for zebras instead of horses. For a second, I thought they might be right, but then I was like, nope, I'm going with the voice screaming in my head, and if it ends up being nothing, oh well. After I made up my mind, I picked up the phone and called the squad room upstairs. I explained to the deputy the same reason I felt it was suspicious, and thankfully, he understood. Then saying, Sure, we'll go check it out. I thought, okay, good. And I felt a little sense of relief. But just then, the phone rang again. The coworker that was giving me the most crap quickly answered,
Dispatch,
in his nasally voice. After just a moment, he slowly turned around to us and said, I just talked to the creepiest guy. All he said was,
I'm here.
Like a killer from a movie, and then he hung up. I thought, really? And then said, Yeah, That's probably the same creepy guy I was talking about. Sure enough, the numbers matched, and I relayed this to the deputies checking around the courthouse. Still feeling very on edge, I sat and waited for an update. After a few minutes, one of the deputies yelled over the radio,
"We're out with one on the dike with a code 9.
Code 9 means firearm. They confirmed next that they had a subject in custody and that everyone was safe. I couldn't believe it. There was actually a guy just outside our workplace armed with a gun for who knows what reason. The deputies proceeded to run the man's name and firearm serial number and then took him to jail for booking on a threat with intent charge. All of this took a while, so I had to wait a few hours before one of the deputies came downstairs to give us the details. I thought I was already in shock, but after hearing the full details, believe me, I was shook. He said that they were already outside doing a basic perimeter check after I called them. One deputy walked up to the dike and checked behind a large power box. There behind that power box was a man crouching and trying to hide. And then next to him was a large high-powered automatic rifle. The nearby deputies rushed over, got him cuffed, and that's when they first let us know over the radio what was going on. As it turns out, this man was a disgruntled former employee of the county who got fired years previously for getting into a DUI wreck in his county-issued truck. His life then spiraled, and apparently, he lost everything, including his marriage and house. That was pretty much the last anyone had heard from him for years, until he popped up on Christmas with the murderous rage, just wanting to take it out on and kill some random county employees and cops. He knew we would be the only ones there that day, and where he was hiding up on the dike above the parking lot, he had a perfect vantage point to just pick us off during the shift change. I knew the guy sounded creepy, and I had a very bad feeling. But never in my wildest dreams would I think he was a potential active shooter and that we were his targets. Please always listen to your gut feeling, intuition, and the voice inside, or whatever you want to call it, because I would have much rather ended up being wrong and slightly embarrassed than dead.
Since the events of this story only happened several weeks ago, I won't disclose any real names or locations to protect me, my family, and anybody involved within this story. I've recently become a state health inspector, and it didn't take me very long to make enemies, for lack of a better word. My job is exactly how it sounds. I inspect food locations for the state. This includes restaurants, grocery stores, gas stations, and pretty much anywhere that deals with food and sanitation. Being young, I'm often referred to as unknowledgeable or that I'm trying to make a name for myself. But the reality of the matter is that I'm just trying to do my job and keep people from getting sick or worse. My first time being out in the field by myself didn't go very well, and I fully expected that. My story starts about 40 minutes or so from my hometown, in a small little town surrounded by a beautiful lake. The town has one local independent supermarket that has a great reputation among the locals, and even those throughout the surrounding areas. The store was my next location for inspection. The first half of my inspection went completely fine. Some little asterisks, but nothing that would be detrimental or harmful to the consumers of the store. But after those first few departments came the butcher shop of the store, and believe me when I tell you, I cannot believe nobody has gotten sick from eating from the shop. The tables that the butchers cut on were filthy, and not just with the residue from that day of cutting meat, but the underside of the table had caked on meat that was clearly very old. The walls looked like they had never been cleaned. The knives that were not being used were covered in dried blood and old meat. All the machines used in the department were covered in grime and years worth of buildup. That alone is enough of a scary story, but unfortunately, my rant of this disgusting department is not where my story ends. As I walked with the manager of this department, I tried to explain to him the issues and why this is a problem. With everything that the world has endured in the last several years, sanitation is obviously incredibly important. This man didn't care at all what I had to say. The butcher was well over 6 foot tall, and I'm not an expert, but I would guess about 6'5", since I'm only about 5'5", and he seemed like he was a foot taller than me. And the man leaned over with his massive frame and billowing loud voice and started to verbally attack me. Now, I have thick skin, and a family that knows how to throw around some curse words, but this man just laid into me like I've never heard before. I couldn't even get a word in if I wanted to. In the middle of the man's rants, I turned around and walked out of the department to continue my inspection of the rest of the store, and during this time, I could still hear the butcher from all the way in the back of the store still attacking me with his words. I would be lying if I didn't say that I started to feel like I was going to shed a tear or two when I got into my car that evening. And needless to say, the store had failed the inspection due to the critical condition of the butcher department. When a store fails an inspection, they have a small grace period to correct the issues. After said grace period, I show up to the small store once again, and to my dismay, my butcher friend was there, and as soon as I walked in the door, he just stared at me with a look of disgust. It was intimidating and honestly a little scary the way he stared me down. When I eventually made my way to the butcher shop, I was surprised, and not because they cleaned, but because it was somehow worse. And written in the meat blood on the cutting table was a certain expletive about me. I tried to be stern and tell the butcher that he was not going to pass again, and that this department was a major sanitation risk, and this is where my story gets truly scary. The man went off the deep end again, but this time his eyes were filled with legitimate rage and his skin turned red. He hollered at the top of his lungs, and I swear if the store manager was not right between us, this butcher would have hit me. As I tried to leave the department like I did on the previous visit to the store, the butcher followed me and kept going on his verbal assault. Nobody could calm this man down, and before things got out of hand even more, I told the store manager that I would have to come back because I didn't feel safe in that store anymore. As I turned and walked away, the butcher said in a menacing and almost maniacal voice, "Goodbye, sweetie." And when I turned around, he was now smiling at me in an extremely creepy fashion, and then he said my name, which really freaked me out, because he either saw it on my name tag, but just the fact that he knew it really gave me the heebie-jeebies. The drive home that night was miserable. It was a long and tiresome day. I still live with my parents, as this is my first real job post-college, and I couldn't wait just to sit down, unwind, and get that lunatic out of my head. In the middle of the night sometime, I'm not sure of the exact time, I was awoken by some chatter between my parents in the hallway. I walked out of my room to ask my parents what was going on and why they were awake. My father said that some tall guy was walking around the house, and I immediately asked why he didn't call the authorities, and my father basically just shrugged it off as some wandering fellow walking through the yard. I know that may seem jarring to some people, but in the small town I live in, people walk home late at night from the bars and cut through yards all the time, as we all know each other in the small community. But something about this didn't feel right. The next night it happened again. This time I heard my father calling to the tall man who was just standing in the backyard. The man didn't move or flinch. He just stood there for several moments. When my father asked if the man needed any help, he turned and walked out of the yard, but as he turned, I could see that he was holding something. Something that seemed to shimmer in the light. I don't think I need to remind you what instruments butchers use and what I was thinking in my head right at that moment. I slept with one eye open that night, jumping at every sound I heard outside. It was now Saturday, and I was ready to just stay home and relax. My parents left for some errands, and I ended up taking a quick nap in the living room. When I woke up, I was filled with an overabundance of fear. My front door was wide open in the middle of the day, and a note sat on my kitchen counter that read, "I missed you, but I'll be back tonight." Immediately, and I know I should have did it last night, I just called the cops, who really didn't know what to do at that moment in time, but said that they would keep an extra patrol in that area that night. And my father was clearly more than livid that I called the police without calling him first, and everybody seemed blown away that I didn't wake up to someone breaking inside, leaving a note, and leaving. That night, I clearly didn't sleep a wink, and when I saw the hall light go on from underneath my doorway, I figured my father had woken up again to the noise of the mysterious man. When I opened the door, What I saw at the end of the hallway was not my father, but it was the tall man. The tall man from the backyard, and they were none other than the butcher from the store. He stood about 15 feet away from me at the end of the hallway. I was frozen in fear, and before the man could run at me or do whatever he had intended, a cop was there and tackled the intruder to the ground. My heart was racing. The cop was parked at the end of my street patrolling the area, and he actually saw the tall man walking down the street. He pursued him slowly and saw him walk to my family home and jostle the door until he broke it in. Being that we live in a small town, the cop knew that this man did not live here, and that is when the cop acted fast. The now former butcher was arrested right then, and as far as I know, is still in jail at this moment. I realize when people talk about dangerous jobs, they don't often bring up health inspectors, but in my situation, it truly was life and death. The butcher did in fact have a knife on his person, but he stayed quiet and didn't say what he intended to do to me or my family, and this event has left me mentally wounded and scared to do my job. I basically live off of Instacart and Grubhub now, and I triple check that my doors and windows are now locked. Nothing of note has happened yet since the initial arrest, but I'm sure this story isn't over yet. Any updates or new information, and I will share with the world when the time comes, but for the moment, I just want to try and move on from this and be happy that I'm still alive and that my family is safe.
I'm a female, and I work at a clothing store in a mall, and this is something that happened over the summer. I started work at 12 p.m. and was working a closing shift. The mall is open until 9 p.m., but our store closed at 8 on that particular day. It was a Saturday, so the mall was really busy. We got a lot of customers throughout the store, and I was busy basically the whole time. When things started to get interesting, though, was at about 4 p.m. I remember that I was working at one of the four registers that we had, ringing up customers. A woman who I was helping told me that she wanted to let me know that there was a guy in the store that was acting creepy and suspicious. I told the woman thanks for letting us know, and when I was done helping her, I notified another employee. I wasn't quite sure what she meant by creepy and suspicious, but I knew that it wasn't good. And the description of the man was a white male with a green sweatshirt and jeans, about average height. I glanced around the store, but I couldn't see all areas from where I was. Plus, the many racks and displays of clothing that we had everywhere didn't allow me to see all the customers, and I didn't see the man. Not even 5 minutes later, though, I got another complaint. Another woman said that a guy in a green sweatshirt seemed to be following her around the store. When I was done helping her, I decided to go find this guy and ask him what he was doing. I left the counter and started walking around the store. Eventually, I saw him near the back corner. He made eye contact with me for a brief second before looking away. As soon as he saw me walking towards him, he turned around and started walking towards the exit. Then he left. I figured he must have gotten the message without me having to say anything, and he knew he was doing something wrong and was going to get kicked out. I was glad he was gone, so hopefully no more of our customers would be bothered. And for the rest of my shift, everything went great. Things quieted down significantly after 7 p.m., and it was very calm for the final hour of work before getting off. There were three of us employees working, and at 8 o'clock, the other two went home, and I stayed back to do a few things. We closed the store by sliding the metal barrier from both sides of the store opening. My last job of the day was to go around the store and make sure that everything was relatively in order. It would usually only take me about 10 or 15 minutes or so. I would go around, sweep the floor, pick up garbage, and if any items were out of place or looking sloppy, I would fix them. Things were taking a bit longer because it had been a Saturday, so there were more things messed up than usual. I started in the front and then made my way to the back. When I was almost done, and at the very back of the store, I was looking through one of the clothing racks, and for some reason, I looked across to the other end. I was looking at the other back corner of the store, and then I noticed something. There was a man, hiding behind a clothing display, inside another rack of clothes, sort of looking out. I could just barely tell that he was wearing green. I realized that it was the same guy that had been here before in that moment. Thankfully, he wasn't looking at me. My heart started racing, but I tried my best to act normal. That corner of the store that he was in was the only section of the store that I hadn't yet cleaned or organized, and I was going to do it next. I sure wasn't going to do it anymore, though. After I finished organizing the rack of clothes that I was, I casually walked over to the front end of the store. When I got there, I stopped and texted the mall security number. I hoped that they would have a quick response. I felt like I shouldn't leave the store because I was the only employee there, but I really wanted to. I stayed right by the front, about as far away as I could get from the guy. Soon, though, I heard a noise coming from the back of the store. As soon as I did, I ran to the gate and opened it, sliding it open just enough for me to get out, and then pushing it shut behind me. When I did, I just barely saw the man coming into view. I walked to the business next door and saw a security guard walking towards me from down the hallway. I waved him over, and in that same time, saw out of the corner of my eye behind me the man leaving the store that I worked at. I pointed at him, and basically the security guard had to chase the guy down. He did end up getting caught, and I had to make a report. I was just happy to be okay, though. Looking back at that, I'm so glad I saw the man when I did, because it's really creepy to think how he was hiding in the store alone with me as I was working.
Let me first say that this story happened several years ago and is still to this day the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. At the time, I didn't really view it as scary, just weird. Years removed from the incident, however, I can reflect just how potentially dangerous and unnerving the situation actually was. Almost 5 years to the date of me writing this, I met Joey. At that time, I had just started with a new company as the head of human resources. After my training, my main duty at this job was to perform all the interviews and do the hiring and placement for most of the new entry-level positions of the company. At first, it seemed like an easy job, and for the most part, it was easy. It was a lot of paperwork and a lot of unpleasant conversation with folks that were horribly unprepared for interviews. The first week of the job, I had performed nearly 50 interviews and nearly nothing of note had occurred. It was not until that Friday of my first week that I had a story to tell my wife at home, a story so strange that I still tell it to this day, as that Friday, I met Joey. The interview started like every other interview. It was friendly and cordial. Joey was a shorter man in his 40s. I didn't remember the exact age, I just remember he was close to my dad's age at the time. His resume was all right, nothing that jumped off the page, but nothing that was awful. He talked for a while about his work history, school history, and his personal interests. Again, nothing that was crazy or noteworthy, just a normal man up to this point. I remember jotting some notes down in my pad that Joey would not be getting a call back, but I wanted to continue the interview just to make sure that I was making the right call. Little did I know, within just a few minutes, I would know for sure that I was making the right call. Just as we were about to wrap up, Joey said, "You know, I have also done other work that isn't on my resume." I sat back in my chair and clicked my pen a couple times. I gave him a nod and told him to continue. He looked down on the ground while he was sitting in his chair and started to twiddle his thumbs, I guess, and much like you would do if you were in trouble in the principal's office in school. His voice got a little rocky and he started to speak through this weird stutter and said, I don't like to put this on my resume because people don't understand, but you look like you would understand me. I can see it in your eyes." The strange sentence freaked me out a little bit, but in a more of creeped out kind of way, and not in a real scary way, I suppose. He continued, I used to repossess objects from people, and I really liked it, and I was good at it. And Joey piqued my interest, so I fished for some more information. I asked him to elaborate and tell me what company he worked for. No company, I was a business for myself. His tone was now way off, and he was talking slowly and almost with an ominous tone. I asked Joey to elaborate because at this point, I was lost. And the guy said that he would repossess things but didn't work for a repossession company. You know, some people were just ungrateful for the stuff they own. I would take one look at someone and say to myself that there's no way they pay their bills. So I would save everyone the trouble and repossess the car or whatever item may be, not just cars. At this point, this guy showed me everything and more than I needed. It sounded like he was some type of thief, and I just wanted to wash my hands of this nonsense. I looked at Joey and said, thanks for coming in. If we're interested, we'll give you a call, okay? I stood up from my chair and extended my hand for a handshake, and instead of standing and doing the same, he stayed in his chair and started to stare at the pictures on my desk. As I stood there with my hand extended like a statue at this point, he goes on to say, "Is that your wife?" I lowered my hand and now gave the man a bit of a disgruntled look. "Yeah, that's my wife," I said in a dismissive voice, and then I started to tell him he needed to leave, but he cut me off mid-sentence to say, I bet she doesn't pay her bills. She would be someone I would repossess." In the moment, I didn't even try to dissect what that meant and what delusions this guy was talking about. "Alright, man, you need to leave." I started to get angry and a bit short with him. And then this lunatic goes on to actually lounge in the chair, extending his legs out. This guy was literally not leaving. His voice then changed again, and he started to laugh and sounded upbeat.
You know, I don't even think I want this job anymore. I think I want to get back into repossession business.
I kid you not. After he said this, he pulled out a cigar and started to light the thing right there in my office. I just stood there in shock for a moment and started to shout at him that he needed to leave right now. Joey stood up and stepped right in front of me. I'm not going to lie, I felt a little terrified, but I wasn't going to do anything because that might be my job on the line. My company had security in place, but being that I was so new, I didn't really know the protocol. He grinned, and this was the first time I was able to see his yellow teeth, and he said, "I know your name, and I'll find out where you live, and I hope you pay your bills." He put the cigar out on his suit jacket arm and walked out of the room. I must admit I felt a wave of relief when he left, but I definitely felt freaked out by the entire ordeal. I didn't mention this guy to my supervisors, and I didn't save his resume. In hindsight, I should have reached out to the authorities, or just grabbed him and slugged him. But instead, I just chalked it up to this guy being just some sort of freak weirdo. When I went home that evening, my wife was freaked out and told me that I should have done or said something, but I just shrugged it off again. I remember that evening not being able to sleep and noticing a lot of automotive lights in the windows. And the thoughts had crossed my mind. Did this insane man actually find my home? But when I woke up in the morning, thankfully nothing had been repossessed, as he would say. I never heard or saw this man again, but thought about that day for years. To this day, I still have not had an interview quite like that interview I had with Joey. I realize nothing insane or terrifying happened here, but the body language and implications of Joey was so unnerving that it gives me nightmares all these years later. It actually freaks me out more now than it did 5 years ago. I've had coworkers, friends, and family all tell me I'm an idiot for not doing anything or reporting this man, and I realize now that I am. I was young and inexperienced then, and I didn't know what I was doing yet. I hope you enjoyed my weird stories about my interview with Joey. What do you think he was talking about? Was this guy just some thief, or just a strange human being?